about the title, and it's Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. And I thought, well, I'm not sure what calm means. So I looked up the definition. I kind of like to look up definitions. And calm means a quiet or peaceful period or situation. And the adjective is peaceful, quiet, relaxed, without hurried movement, anxiety, or noise. So calm, the way I picture it, it's kind of like being on a lake and the water's just not, no ripples, no anything. And that's what, as Christians, we, I think, want in a world that is chaotic. I wasn't real sure what the word chaotic meant, so I looked it up as well. I mean, I knew, but I didn't know the official definition. And the word chaotic means a state of complete confusion and disorder. I'd say that pretty much describes what it's been like since January. Do you realize how many things we have quit doing and how many things? I mean, everything from going, well, we should be in vacation Bible school. This was the week of vacation Bible school. We were going to the Dominican. We had youth camp. And so it's been pretty disorderly. And I just thought about yesterday and the emotions that I felt yesterday sitting in my office. First of all, the death of a guy named George Floyd by a bad policeman. And, you know, bad situation. But then I also thought about all the good policemen and the fact that four had been shot in St. Louis. And one captain had been killed in St. Louis protecting a friend's. And I thought, you know, bad cop, good cop. Peaceful protesters, looters and criminals. I mean, we live in a world of complete disorder, craziness. Violence, robbing, destruction, and then the famous blame game. Everybody blames somebody else for the disorder, the problem. And then you add to that the virus. Now, I tune in daily to the Daily Governor's Report just to find out how many people have had it. Don't ask me why. How many new cases? But you know, the thing I've learned about this virus is that really nobody knows anything about this virus. They don't know if a vaccine will work or not work. First they tell us not to wear a mask. Then they tell us to wear a mask. You know, there's such confusion. But I tell you the crazy thing is my poor mom, I talked to her over the phone, but also by camera. My poor mom has been isolated in an assisted living since, goodness, before March in Houston, Texas. And she went from being able to eat with a bunch of people to having to eat in her room. She went from having to go to a craft room where they had games and crafts to now doing it on their floor if people are out of their rooms. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I've seen in her chaotic world is it's affected her mental. And it's a tragic thing. And then you add to the virus and you add to the bad cops and the good cops and the crazy protesters. You add to that the economy. And you know, and how bad the economy was, how many were out of job. I mean, wouldn't you admit that we live in a time of just chaos? It's just utterly chaotic. Nobody knows. And the neat thing is that God actually does not want us to live like that. He wants us to live in a world where we experience anxiety, but we deal with it. We experience fear, but we deal with it. We experience worry, but we deal with it. You know, the word anxiety is a feeling. And one of the things that I think we're going to find through all this chaos and craziness is we're going to find anxiety going up in Americans, which Americans are a master anxiety. You know, we're the number one country for anxiety. And it's just mind-boggling to me. But the word anxiety, it means a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease. And you know, it's just that not knowing. And the old English word that it comes from, it literally means to strangle. And anxiety will strangle you. Another word that we'll be looking at for the next several weeks is the word worry. The word worry in the Greek literally means to be pulled apart. That's a pretty good definition of what it is to worry. It is to pull you apart. And then the word fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that something or someone is going to hurt us. You know, you see a snake, you have fear, you run. And so we have all these emotions that are here. And a quote that I found that is so cool, but it's so tragic, is about anxiety. And see if this is true. Anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. Anxiety is what if this, what if that, what if this. It is a meteor shower of what ifs. It is not knowing. It's constantly worrying. And in America, the study I looked at for 2018 says that nearly 40 to 50 million Americans will feel the effects of anxiety. And when I say that, I mean panic attacks, phobias, and other anxiety disorders. And as a matter of fact, for women, anxiety is number one for mental health, and for men, it's number two, only second to alcohol and drug abuse. And so it's a problem that we have. And, you know, the thing about it is, we're the most anxious country, and yet we have the most safety guidelines. Do you realize, you know, we have guidelines for our food, we have guidelines for our water, we have guidelines for our vehicles, our houses are supposed to be built a certain way. You go to the Dominican Republic, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know the car next to you probably has not been serviced properly and is probably about to fall apart. You know that the water is just no good to begin with if it's not in a bottle. And so, but do you know that the Dominicans are less anxious than we are? I find that so crazy. And so in 2018, they asked, what do Americans, what are their sources of anxiety? There were three top ones that I found. First, safety. We're the safest country in the world, and yet, what are we most worried about? Safety. Anxiety. We have more guns than anybody else in the world. Most of y'all's houses, I wouldn't want to go in at night because you might get shot from any room. I mean, you know, we have more guns than anybody in the world. We're the most anxious about health. Safety, health. We have the best healthcare system in the world. People are living too long. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, but because we have such good healthcare, we can keep you alive forever almost. And then finances. Well, until the crash, everything, we were worried about that. You know, what I've discovered is the more money you have, the more anxious you become. In the Dominican, they don't worry about money because they don't have any. And so anxiety is huge, and it's huge in the church. And so I was trying to find, why are people anxious? And I'm getting the scripture. I'm just setting it up. Why are people so anxious? Well, the one thing they think causes it is the amount of change that we experience today. One guy said, a researcher found that the environment and social order has changed more in the last 30 years than it has in the previous 300 years. In other words, there's been more change in the last 30 years than in the last 300 years before that. I mean, think about it. I have a smart TV. I'm not smart enough to figure out what that means, but I have a smart TV. I have a phone that I can talk to. I have a thing called Alexa that I don't know how to work, but I could ask questions if I wanted to. Think about it. I mean, just computers, internet. I'm old enough to remember bag phones. That was our small phone. I mean, the things that have changed are unbelievable. And they think that helps with anxiety. Another thing is we are busier than ever before. Now, until recently, I mean, do you realize people have done less going over the last several months than they probably have in a long time? But they said before that, we you know, it's nothing to get on a jet and fly here. I mean, go there. We want to go to Little Rock. We just get in the car and drive as fast as we want within reason. But we're busy. I mean, it's nothing to travel and go and be busy. The third thing I thought was interesting, getting older. The getting older makes us anxious. I think I am. You know, they start talking about this virus and they talk about certain ages, you know. I'm close to one of those bottom numbers, you know, and it depends which study they show whether I'm, you know, vulnerable or not. But I mean, my goodness, I didn't know the truth is we were all vulnerable anyway. We just didn't know it. And then the fourth thing, I think the biggest influence is the 24/7 news cycle. That anxiety, you know, about every disaster almost immediately. I mean, almost immediately. This writing, if you have your phone set up a certain way, you're getting updates when things go bad. And I think all of that causes us to be anxious. The change, the busyness. And yet, if you struggle with anxiety, which I have most of my life, not to the point of having to take medication, but if you remember that personality test, I'm that personality that rethinks everything. My mind's constantly going. So if you tell me, you know, there's a chance I might get this, I'm trying to figure the odds up in my head because that's just the way I work. I measure everything. And so the most wonderful passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking over for several weeks is Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Let me read it and just take it in. Don't try to study it, just read it. He says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." He begins this little part while he's in prison talking about rejoicing. "Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is coming soon." And then he starts meddling. "Don't worry." Remember, worry means to be pulled apart. To worry about, it's to be double-minded. "Don't worry about anything." Well, certain personalities and a lot of Americans worry about everything. And they even worry about stuff that they don't know if it's going to happen or not. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." There's the promise. The promise is, then you will experience God's peace. God's peace is calm. You have to be able to take your worries and you have to be able to lead them somewhere. You have to take the things that cause you to be anxious. And Paul says it's prayer. And so this peace he talks about, he says, exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And then he says, then the God of peace will be with you. So for the next several weeks, we're going to look at how do you do that? And what does that really mean? And so Paul gives us that, but Scripture warns us that anxiety robs us. Worry and anxiety rob us of joy. It robs us of strength. And it really robs us of God's purpose. Listen to what it says in Luke 21, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said this, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down." I mean, there are some days when I feel weighed down. "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness," and look what's in that same category, "and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap." You may not have a problem with drinking, may not be a carouser, but a lot of times it's the anxieties of life that are ripping us apart. And Jesus says, beware. So what are some signs that maybe you're getting weighed down by the anxieties of life? Well, here's several. And at different times in my life, I've experienced these because of being anxious. Here's a sign. Are you laughing less than you once did? Do you still laugh? I mean, I think a laughing church is a healthy church. I think a church that is always grieving and serious is not necessarily healthy. Or do you laugh? You know? Another, this is me, my friends, my wife, everybody too. Do you see problems in every promise? Going back to my personality, it's just natural for me to find the problem. It's a very unhealthy way to live your life. But that's when I look at something, I'm evaluating and it's a sign you're getting weighed down. Okay, here's another one. Would those who know you best describe you as increasingly negative and critical? It's a sign of being weighed down by anxiety. Here's another one. Do you assume something bad is going to happen? Here's another one. Many days would you rather stay in bed than get up? Another one. Do you magnify the negatives and dismiss the positive? And then the final one. Given the change, given the chance, and I like this one because I do kind of understand it. Given the chance, would you avoid any interaction with humanity for the rest of your life? We all, everybody knows who those people are. And they're usually married to someone who loves to be around people. Isn't that right? You know, I thought, man, oh man, oh man. Everybody was struggling with the isolation. I was enjoying it. I studied by myself all the time, you know. Come out for people occasionally, but that's not a healthy way to live. It's not a biblical way to live. But are any of those signs? Well, those six verses from Philippians that I read, there's really four admonitions that we're going to focus on over the weeks to come, and it has to do with how you get calm. And the first one is one we'll talk about next week, and it's this. We have to learn to celebrate God's goodness. If you're going to defeat anxiety, if you're going to handle it properly, you're going to have to be able to rejoice in the Lord always. What does that mean? It means to celebrate His sovereignty, to celebrate who He is. Second thing we'll look at is you have to ask God for help. The whole deal about Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is that you're to ask for help. Something dividing you, worrying you, you have to ask God for help. And then the third thing is you have to leave your concerns with Him. I'm real good about praying about it and then the next day picking it back up. That's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about leaving our concerns with Him, being thankful that they're His and not mine. And then the final thing we'll talk about is meditate on good things. Philippians 4:8. I mean, meditate on good things. And with hard work, and if you take the first letter of each one of those, it comes calm. But if you have hard work and you apply God's word to your life, one of the things that you cannot achieve is peace. And listen, it is not God's will to live a life of perpetual perpetual anxiety. It is not God's will that every day you face with dread and trepidation. It's just not God's will. And living in fear, one of my big concerns, I'm so glad you're here. People have been told to stay away, stay away. Be by yourself, be by yourself. After a while, I worry about some people ever coming back out into the real world. Because what are we afraid of? We're afraid of a virus. And there's many viruses. You have to live in a world of viruses. Now, I'm not saying don't be safe. You know, do the things you need to do. Wash your hands. You know, you don't need to be in somebody's face all the way anyway. Wear a mask if you need to. But what I'm saying is people are going to be fearful. And they're going to worry about things they can't change. And that is not... Listen, all the violence that's going on, doesn't slow me down one bit from going somewhere. You got to live in the world with some of these imperfections. And anxiety is over the what if. And the what if may never come. And so we have to be able to take Scripture and allow it to guide our life instead of fear. So here are some scriptures before we're done. Let me read them quickly. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. He will show you which path to take." You just got to trust Him. You can't figure all this out. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "I am leaving you with a gift." Here's the gift that He wants to give you and me. Peace of mind and heart. "And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." And then in Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, "Give your burdens to the Lord and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall." 1 Peter 5, 7, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you." I mean, we can't live in fear and think that no one cares about us when God does and He wants us to give Him. What if you're looking at a bad week, a scary week? Psalm 23, verse 4, where David said, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me." And then the last one that is so important is to remember this. It's Psalm 118, verse 24. It ought to make you want to get up out of bed and face life. It's this. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." If it has virus, you still get up and rejoice. Because viruses are everywhere. If it has our world is going to have violence. Our world's going to have problems. But here's the deal we do know. God made the day. It's up to us to take advantage of it. So anxiety, worry, fear, man, it will rob you of your joy. It will make you tired. It will make you cynical about life. Everybody's bad. Everything's dangerous. People, that's not how God wants you to live. He wants you to live, and that's good news. So we're going to find calm in a chaotic world. We picked a good time to try to find it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, and I thank You so much for Paul's words that just say, hey, keep on rejoicing, keep on praying, put the right stuff in your mind. I thank You for the psalm that says that You made today and that I need to rejoice in it and be glad. I don't want to dread a single day that You give me because it's a gift and it's up to me to do something with it. Father, as our church starts to open back up for teenagers and children and families and senior adults and medium-age adults, Lord, I pray that You will give us wisdom and that we'd understand that just because there's problems out there, people still need to hear the gospel. Kids need to hear the gospel. Teenagers need to hear it. Adults need to hear it. So help us not to be afraid to take it. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.